Welcome to Clark County Today. I'm your host, David Medore. We are speaking today about a high voltage transmission line that will be routing through Clark County that will have some substantial impact on the property owners through our area. We have for our guest today, Terry Constance. You represent a coalition of citizens that are very interested in this project, and State Representative Ed Orcutt. Terry, you have spent a lot of time looking into this project, and you have an alternative that you like to present today. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, sure. We have a proposed eastern route that's unpopulated that goes east, the very east side of Clark County, and goes up north of Silver Lake almost to the edge of Cowlitz County. And that route is, we went out in the field and made GPS coordinates and come back with a very defined general path for BPA to follow in their project. Now, just to talk about BPA for a second, they're trying to create a super high voltage highway here with no off ramps to Washington whatsoever. We have no opposition to power being, given to people in Oregon and California. We think they need power. We don't oppose that, but not at the burden of just Washington citizens and. We don't think the power's for here at all. As a matter of fact, the schematic that you can we can pull up will show you that on the red line on the right-hand side that this is connected from Castle Rock to Troutdale with no off-ramps to Oregon or Vancouver at all. So we have, it just goes down to and connects at the grid. And so when you start off at the beginning, it goes from that to all of the power being needed here, and we really disagree with that. It's not a power all needed here issue.
And really, there's been a problem throughout this whole process with BPA and the kind of answers we're getting. I've attended about 18 or 19 different meetings, most of which BPA were a part of. And at all of those meetings, the questions were all the same. But over about a year and a half time span, the answers seemed to change. And that's the only thing that really seemed to change by BPA. There are times when they don't know the answer. Then there are times when they give you one answer. A week or two later, they're giving you a different answer. And there have been times when there's been conflicts. One person will say, well, this is the case here. And when you speak to someone else in BPA or in front of somebody else with BPA, they'll say, no, that's not the case. And so there's no coordination within BPA. There's been no coordination, really. There's been no outreach, per se, from BPA. My first knowledge of this didn't even come from BPA. It came from a former client of mine as a forester, called me up and said, hey, what do you know about this? And that was the first thing that I'd even heard about it. So they hadn't even done an outreach to public officials in Southwest Washington.
So the transmission line goes through our area to make sure that we invest in infrastructure, that we have reliable power throughout the adjacent areas. Mm-hmm. We want to be, you're not opposed to transmission lines somewhere. We still need to be able to get power through this area, right?
Absolutely right. We know we need to get power to California and Oregon and so forth, but not just at the burden of people that are in populated areas. I mean, we have a totally unpopulated alternate path out east that would be better off to put this line down through. There are a few mistakes that have made, not just that not being considered, but throughout the process that we've been in here about 2 years now.
Can I just ask you, make sure I understand. First of all, you're both very interested in the process, and you're both supporting a transmission line.
Right.
But the problem is it's been somewhat, it sounds like a frustrating process to get through in order for the public to actually participate in this, because the property values and the impacts it has on citizens through this area. We want to be good citizens so that we can have power running through our area, but we also want to be able to make sure that this agency, who's going through this process of conducting public hearings so that we can have feedback from our area, that's been somewhat frustrating.
There's never really been a public hearing, per se.
They've been meetings. What do you call the meetings?
They've held these open houses, is what they've done. And much of what they wanted to do with these open houses is to provide information to us. And any time that we bring up ideas, instead of writing them down, they seem to want to explain why that won't work. And quite frankly, their explanations have sounded more like excuses than explanations. And that's where a lot of the problem has come and where a lot of their credibility has been lost.
So open house is a very different situation.
Absolutely.
Than actually inviting the public to brainstorm with that process, to be able to be part of the solution. I think of an open house is that we're going to present something to you, kind of a top-down approach.
Mm-hmm. It's that basically a sales pitch why you need power, and they want to get the public to get some skin in the game so they can sell this idea to the people locally to support the project locally. We do support it, but not in the populated area. So, you know, they have made a few mistakes along the line. One of them was taking out the Pearl Station route before it was scoped and the people got to see the route. That particular map that we have here to show you included over 90 segments, and it was just like a map full of spaghetti that had too many people impacted, and the impact of people is extensive. It affects their families, their homes, their property, all of the things that you can think of that will, you know, whether they can make improvements to their property. They're actually being held hostage right now by BPA because they can't do anything. They can't sell their homes. A lot of the FHA and HUD financing is not available for people that have easement connected or right-of-way connected property in the project. So it has a detrimental effect on the senior citizens that may have lost a spouse. They can't move. They can't sell their home. This is the kind of impact that this has to keep this going on. This impact has been going on nearly 2 years. The record of decision will be 2 years from now, and then there'll be a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that could be over a year process after that. So this is a long-term project, a lot of burden to the people. There's gonna be people that will just have to abandon their property because they can't do anything with it. And huge, huge stakes that we've outlined across the project so far. Of course, like I mentioned, the Pearl Station being the first major mistake, not letting the public see that route, which could have been done without crossing the Columbia River. We had a meeting with BPA with Representative Orcutt there in November last year, and it specifically, why did Pearl Station get taken off of the map, and what kind of answers did you get from that, Ed? I mean,
the answers we got was that there was a problem with a crossing at the Columbia River in Longview, and they're saying, well, we can't cross there. We'd have to do another corridor and be really expensive. The problem is, what they're saying they can't do with the crossing of the Columbia River at Longview, they're doing further up at Castle Rock. And this is one of the situations where I had talked with somebody from BPA at one of the meetings, was the Amboy meeting, and talked to him about, well, what are you guys doing up here? And they said, well, we've got four lines up there now. We've got two that are 500 kV lines and two that are 230 kV lines. And that goes all the way down from Castle Rock all the way down through and across the river at Longview, down to Alston, down in Oregon. And I said, well, what are you guys doing up here north of Castle Rock? And they said, well, we're gonna take the two 230s and stack them, and then we're gonna put the other, you know, this new 500 kV line in, nestle it in with the other lines. And I said, I've said all along, well, why can't you do that, you know, across the Columbia River? You say you can't cross the Columbia River, why can't you just stack them? Oh, well, we can't do that. I said, well, why can't you do it there if you're doing it at Castle Rock? And the answer that came back, and this was a week later, I was saying, why can't you do that? To the project manager. And his response was, well, we're not doing that at Castle Rock. Call me back the next day to apologize, because in fact, they were. And he didn't know. So that's where I'm talking about the information within BPA. They don't even know what's going on entirely.
So they are crossing the Columbia River in a very similar way, just a little bit further north, and you still don't have an answer why they can't cross in a more logical location that will impact our county much less.
Yeah, they could actually stay within an existing corridor, do the exact same thing they're going to do north of Castle Rock, and just carry that all the way down through Longview and across the river down into Oregon, take that all the way down to the Pearl Route. Most of that power, a lot of that power is actually going to be going down to California anyway. So why move it east to Troutdale and have them bring it back west to send it down to California? Why not just shoot it in a straight line down through?
So these are not just the normal transmission lines that we have running across our county now. These are, I think there are 230,000 volt lines And these are what we're talking about here is a 500,000 volt.
It's 500,000 volts. It's 15 stories. They're snap, crackle, pop through your neighborhoods.
So these are the largest transmission lines that can be constructed, and because of the high voltage, they have to be. These are much taller towers.
Much taller, higher radiation levels. There's a lot of issues with people living close to these lines that we on either side of the issue with that. If you look at the case law in other states, they have created setbacks from 500 kV lines from schools and personal properties to keep people away from the lines a certain distance. Now, when you do that through a neighborhood, there's a problem with that because there are cross streets in neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So even though you have a setback of 500 feet from a line, every time somebody crosses under the line, they walk down the street, they walk directly under the lines anyway. So that's an issue. You're never going to completely make these lines safe, and so I would say the best plan for BPA is to get these things out of town and get out where nobody lives out there and make them where all the other lines generally are. And speaking of crossing places they say they can't cross, Big Eddy, they cross the scenic gorge there, but every time I bring up going down the Bonneville Dam easement going east, they say they can't cross the scenic gorge on this project. That doesn't wash. You can either do it or you can't. And so there is a way to do this out to Bonneville Dam without going through Camas and Troutdale. There is a way to build this line without affecting all of the people that are involved. There's 13,000 people impacted on the segments as it exists currently. That's way too many people. They should have never been impacted. They should have been a very minimal map drawn that was in a very unpopulated area, and that would have solved the problem, but that did not happen.
So basically, you're both here as representatives of the citizens of this area.
Exactly.
And you're trying to get this minimizing the impact in order to and simplify the process. And it's been frustrating.
Oh, very frustrating, yeah.
So there are objective answers that you'd like to be able to receive. And it sounds like you have two here. Why can't you cross the Columbia River by Bonneville? Mm-hmm. Why can't you cross the Columbia River up where?
At Longview.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have answers to either one of those.
No answers.
As a state representative, don't you have access? Can't you sit down individually with the project manager and meet at his office and have conversations with them? Do you, in addition to these open houses meetings, just simply show up behind a microphone? Can't you? Can't they give you extra time to answer some of these questions?
I've had a lot of correspondence with BPA over this, and you know, the quality of response has just been deplorable, realistically. I respect how hard of a job they have. I really do. But when I put legitimate ideas on the table, and I realize I'm not a rocket scientist, I'm not, an engineer, but when I put reasonable proposals on the table and ask them to go and look at things, and then they come back with something totally different than what I asked them to do and say, hey, see, we did what you wanted. That's very frustrating, and it really tells me they're not listening to me, they're not listening to the citizens that I represent.
And that can be fixed. We need to take a break right now.
Okay.
We'll come back in a minute.
Okay.
Okay.